All right, well, good morning, children. Let's pray, and then we'll go on with our lesson. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this beautiful fall morning that you've given to us with the bright sunshine and the crisp air, and just thank you for the breath that we can breathe, Father. Thank you for our able bodies. Thank you for each one that is here today. I pray that your blessing would dwell over this service, and that you could take the few words that each of us have and that you could multiply them and bless the hearers, Father. I just pray that you would be with us all today and also be with the speakers that are coming after me, Lord. And just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so my little lesson here this morning, I had a busy day yesterday, and I forgot about that I was supposed to have children's lesson until last night, so I woke up this morning and put a few things together. I've actually been thinking about this one for a while, and I wasn't sure how to do it, but what I'm going to talk about today is temptations or snares, and there's a lot of different little things in our life that maybe we're tempted to do, that maybe don't look all bad, but if our parents tell us not to do them, then we should listen to them, and we should also listen to something that God gave us called our conscience, and our conscience is something that you kind of feel in your chest or in your heart, that if you're about to do something, you can just kind of feel whether it's right or wrong, even if nobody told you don't do that or told you to do something and you're not doing it. And that's what God put in each one of our hearts, that we can feel Him. It's His Spirit that gives us that. So these examples here that I have are all little things, and I'm using animals for a reference this morning, but I think that God also gave us nature to learn from. God created nature to give glory to Him, and also I think they're often... we can draw lessons from nature that are good for us, too. So, what I'm thinking about is temptations, and there's often many times where our parents will say, you know, don't go out and do this, or, you know, there's some cookies on the counter, but you need to wait until after supper to eat those, or there's many little things that our parents tell us to do. And something that I think it goes all the way on up to adulthood. That can be references for your children, but also when you get older, there's other temptations come. They never stop coming. Like for a lot of us men that work, the temptation to chase money is there, and there's temptations maybe to, you know, cheat on your taxes or to, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of different areas where we're tempted to do things that maybe look like they'd feel good to us, but in the long run, it's a temptation and it's a trap and it's a snare. And if we do those things, we're ultimately going to fall into a trap. So I have a few examples here. So this is a fishing lure, and I actually last week I caught a fish on this one. And you know, when you drop this in the water, and you have your line tied to it on a long pole, and you throw it out and you pull it, this little thing right here makes this fish dive down, and it swims back and forth, and it looks just like a real fish. And when fish see this, they think it's food for them, and so they'll grab it, and then when they grab it, they get hooked on this hook. And that's how a lot of temptations are. You know, maybe if mom says don't eat that cookie until after supper, you're really hungry, and it's like, well, that cookie wouldn't hurt me at all, and it looks like something good, it looks like something that'd feel good, but then you do that, and then you have to get a punishment for it, and that's how this looks. It looks, to those fish, this is something that they love to eat, and it looks shiny, and it jumps back and forth, it looks like a good deal for them, but as soon as they do it, they get caught in a trap, and that trap for children can be that when we do something that we're not supposed to, we get trapped by sin. And sin has a way of holding you there, and the only way to get out of it for young children is for your parents to free you of that burden. They have to give you a punishment, and then you're clear again. But until they do that, you're trapped. You're on that hook, and your parents have to get you off. But when you get older, and you fall into things, the only thing that can free you is Jesus. Jesus came to free us from the temptation and the lure of sin. And that's what this is. So the only way that fish could get off that hook is if somebody came and it pulled that hook out of his mouth and set him back free. And then another example here. This isn't really a mouse, but it's the closest thing that I had to one. So mice really enjoy cheese or peanut butter. And I caught a couple of them last fall in traps just like this, you know. And for the mouse, maybe they look at that and they know it's a trap. Like sometimes we know we shouldn't do something, but we think, well, you know, maybe this piece of cheese here, maybe I could just bite off the end and not get the part that's actually in the trap trigger. But you know what? You get close and you stand there and you look at it, and all of a sudden it gets right up to you there and it touches that. And boom, well, that one missed. But most of the time, if there's a mouse does that, this is what happens. It gets its head stuck in there, and it dies most of the time. And so even, you know, the longer that mouse stood there and looked at that, the better that cheese looked. So what that thing should have done is when it saw that it was a trap, it should have turned and ran away. There's a verse, I think it's in Timothy, that Paul is talking to Timothy, and he said, flee youthful lusts. And that means that when we see something that is maybe enticing to our eye or something that is going to be a trap for us, we should just turn and look away, because the longer you stand there and look at it, the more tempted you're going to be, the more tempted you're going to be to fall into that thing. And this here is a chipmunk trap, or it works for a lot of things. I've caught field mice, and this past spring and summer, I caught 7 chipmunks in this thing. We had a real problem at our house. They were getting up into our attic and digging holes in our flower pots, and some of them actually planted some seeds in one of my flower pots. They got some sunflower seeds out of the bird feeder, and they planted them, and the seeds sprouted, and I took them and planted them in my garden, and they actually grew sunflowers. So the chipmunks grew some flowers this year, too. But some traps don't get you quite as quick. See, like this, the chipmunk would come in here, and I actually watched one of them. First, he jumped up on top of the trap, and he was walking around, and he was looking. I had sunflower seeds back there, and he would come in, and he'd grab a couple, and he'd run back out. And see, he's like, well, you know, it's not too bad. If I could get those first couple, I got away with it. Maybe I can get those ones that are back here. So he'd get a little closer. And he was jumping around in there, and all of a sudden, he hit that trigger, and he was caught. And there's no way for him to get out. This little catch dropped down, and it caught him, and he was stuck in there. And then I went out there, and I picked up the cage, and he was just, I have some videos, but I was holding him, and he was just going boom, 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 back and forth in there, but there was no way to get out. And even though he got some of those first seeds and got away with it, he got greedy. And he kept on wanting more. And that's how temptations are in our life. Like maybe if you took that cookie that you were told not to take, maybe you ate it and got away with it. Nobody saw you do it. God saw you do it, though. God sees everything. But maybe your parents didn't catch you taking it. And then the temptation is, well, if I got away with the first one, maybe I can get another one. But there's another verse in the Bible that says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So those chipmunks that I caught, I didn't kill them, but I put them in this little cage and I took them somewhere else and turned them loose. But that's for us too. You know, we go to work, we make money, and we need money to pay our bills and to live and things. But if we get greedy with it, it turns into a trap. So we need to be very careful. And if our parents tell us not to do something or not to go in a certain place, maybe we're not supposed to play upstairs in our bedrooms during the day or something like that. But if you start playing on the stairs and, you know, playing at the top of the stairs and just not going in your bedroom, you know, before long, that's where you'll be. So if we're told not to do something, not to go somewhere, or not to say something, just stay far away from it. And that's the best way, is if we see something that's bad, we got to run from it. Don't stand close by and play with it, because you see what happens. Eventually, it's going to come and it's going to get you. So that's the lesson that I have for today. Hopefully you guys could understand that, and you can all go back to your parents. I thought I was forgetting something. I have a little story about that here. Now, in this story, this family has a Christmas tree and Christmas gifts, and we don't celebrate Christmas in that way, but it's the moral of the story that I'm hoping you guys can understand here. So this is a story about a little girl named Eva. And also, I was going to say, you know, in the Bible story about Adam and Eve with temptation, another thing about running away from it is when she went over and stood by that tree that God told them that they shouldn't eat from, the longer she stood there, the better that looked. And when she stood there long enough, the devil came and told her, it's not really how God said. And when we do that, the devil will come to us too, the longer we stand next to something. So that's why we're supposed to flee from it. Okay, we all know the story of Eve and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. But here is a story about Eva and a Christmas tree. You'll be surprised how similar they are. Eva was always getting into trouble for poking her nose into things and places where it didn't belong. Somehow she couldn't keep herself from looking into drawers and cupboards and boxes and packages, even though they belonged to other people. Of course, she didn't pry into them when other people were there. She didn't say to them, "Please, may I look here or there?" Oh no, she waited till nobody was around and then she looked. She thought that nobody knew she was doing it, but in this case, she was much mistaken. Always, even when she thought she was being most careful, she left some telltale mark behind. So the others said, "Eva has been looking in here," and they weren't very pleased about it either, I can tell you. Then it came Christmas time, and the great day drew near. Boxes began to appear mysteriously on the floor around the Christmas tree. All were very beautifully wrapped, some in white paper, some in blue paper, and some in star-spangled paper. Oh, how Eva loved to look at them. Sometimes she would lie on her tummy and examine all the labels. One had "Love to Mother" written on it. "Best wishes to dear Daddy." Another on a little one, "Fondest love to baby brother." There were lots of others to and from her brothers and sisters. In the midst of all them, she found one marked, "To Eva, with lots of love." Oh, how she wanted to open that box. She held it up to the light. She shook it. She turned it over and over, but still she could not guess what was inside. Now, there was a law in this home that no box under the tree was to be opened by anyone until Christmas Day, and Eva knew that rule just as well as anybody else. But one afternoon when she was left alone for a little while, she forgot about it. Or did she? Going over to the tree, she picked up the box to have another look at it. See, you know, she was just right at first, she was just looking at it. You know, there was nothing wrong with looking at it. Everybody was looking at the boxes. But to her, if she would have just went away and did something else, it would have left her mind. Far better would it have been for her if she had left it lying there until the proper time, but she didn't. She played with it and shook it again, then tried to look through the wrapping paper. All the time, like Eve in the garden, she was gradually giving way to temptation. Soon the temptation was more than she could stand. She untied the ribbon, turned back the wrapping, and lifted the lid. And there, oh joy, there was the most beautiful doll she had ever seen. It had golden curly hair, blue eyes that moved, a dainty yellow dress, and the prettiest shoes. Oh, how she wanted to take it out of the box and love it there and then. But a sound in the driveway startled her. It was the family car coming back. Quickly, she replaced the lid and the wrapping paper and tried hard to tie the ribbon as it had been before. Then she ran into the kitchen and did her best to look innocent. Even though Eva thought she deceived her mother, she was mistaken. Mother spotted that untidy ribbon before she had been in the house 5 minutes, but she said nothing about it, at least not then. The next day, when Eva went to the tree, she noticed that the boxes had been rearranged. She looked over them carefully and, to her amazement, noticed that the one marked "To Eva with lots of love" was no longer there. She searched and searched for it, but couldn't find it. Of course, she daren't say anything about it, for that might give her away. So she just had to wait and wait, looking at the pile each day and hoping that the box would return. But it didn't, not even on Christmas Day. Of course, she got some other packages, but not that one, and it was the one that she wanted the most. There was a box that looked like the one she wanted, but when she opened it, there was nothing inside but wrapping paper and a little note pinned to it that said, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win." That's actually a note in a song, or a verse in a song that we know. So what that's saying is if you get a victory over a temptation and you run for it, the next time, it'll be a whole lot easier to not fall to that. But likewise, the other way around is the same too. If you fall for it, the next time it'll be easier to fall for the next one. That note made her very sad, of course, for she guessed then that Mother had found out and knew what she had done. So by and by, she went to see Mother when no one else was around. "I'm sorry, Mother," she said. "I did peek in that package." "I knew you did," said Mother. "You never deceive me. I won't do it anymore. I'm glad to hear that, Eva, dear. May I have my doll now?" "No, dear, not yet. Remember when Eve took the fruit in the Garden of Eden, there was a price to pay, a terrible price. She had to learn that sin is very costly, and you must learn too. You must ask Jesus to help you so that you won't deceive and lie anymore. And when you have won that victory, maybe the package will come back again, but not until then. Not until I am sure that you are a new and different girl." So that's a lesson there. You know, she wanted that doll so bad, she couldn't wait on that. But it made it that much worse is when she looked in that package, then she had to wait for even longer than she would have if she would have just left it go in the first place. So that's a lesson for us all, and I hope you are blessed today. So now you can go back to your seats.